to Paul's second letter to Timothy that I found anything that would have application for us this morning. In 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, it says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray. Father, we do want to be part of your army. We want to be, Father, part of the army of God, that we might serve thee, that we might obey your commands, that we might accomplish victory in the battles that lay ahead in life. And so, Father, as we come to thee this morning, as we think about veterans and soldiers and those who have served you as examples in the scripture, we ask that your Holy Spirit will use some of these examples to touch our hearts, that we too might be victorious for you. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time this morning to meet together. Now may you be glorified, may your will be done, may Jesus Christ be lifted up, and we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that it was Dwight Eisenhower, after the Second World War, who made this statement. He said, "Those who served our country in battle and returned home, we call veterans. Those who did not return home, we call heroes." Think about that. Those who fought in battle and returned home are veterans. Those who fought in battle and did not return home are true heroes. Veterans Day is for those who served and returned. Memorial Day is for those who did not. Yesterday we celebrated Veterans Day, and since the word veteran is not scriptural, we will look at some examples of men who were soldiers for the Lord and gave us, I guess, an example of what we should be as a soldier for the Lord. And the first person that I thought of was Gideon. And so, if you will, turn to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. That's near the front of the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Gideon obeyed his commander-in-chief, who happened to be God. Gideon took 300 men and defeated two massive armies because he obeyed God. And so let's read about this account. It's 21 verses long, but we're going to begin at Judges 7:1. "Then Jerubbaal," who is Gideon, "and the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead.' And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, 'The people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people to the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let the other people go every man to his place. Boy, that takes a lot of faith on Gideon's part. You've got hundreds, probably of thousands of soldiers, and God sends everybody home but 300 men. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he set all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. Those of you who have been in battle, and there are some here, whether it was Korea or Vietnam or other areas, know what it means to fear. And I think that we have a classic example here that Gideon was afraid. He was doing what God said, but he didn't want to. He was afraid for what the outcome might be. And so God gave him an encouragement, verse 10. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phirah, thy servant, thy servant down into the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went down Phirah, his servant, into the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered, this is nothing save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered unto your hand the host of Midian. Gideon understood who was going to give him the victory. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I bloweth with the trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they that stood, every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. Now, can you imagine yourself approaching an army, well-armed, and you don't even have a weapon? I had that experience while I was in Turkey. We were to guard the flight line. They gave us M1 carbines. No bullets. That was the mindset of our leadership at that time. Put us out there, say, don't let anybody cross your post, and then they don't give you any bullets. There was a reason they didn't, because a lieutenant tried to cross the flight line one time and would not identify himself, and one of the guards shot at him. So to keep that from happening again, they took away our bullets. That's the way government operates. As we think about the story of Gideon, we all remember that he was faithful to put out a fleece a couple times. He didn't have faith that God really wanted him involved. So he kept testing God. Tested him with a fleece one night, and then next night he wanted it dry and wet around it. He was scared. But that didn't keep him from being bold. When God told him to go down and listen to what the enemy was talking about, he went with his servant. And he heard a conversation that led him not only to be bold, but to be brave. And as a result of that, they totally destroyed the Midianite and Amalekite armies. He did what God commanded. He was scared, but he didn't keep from being bold. He didn't keep from being brave. He was courageous. In that, he pursued the enemy through vastly outnumbered. I think that we could call Gideon a veteran of war. Veterans have other characteristics that we find examples of in the Bible. For example, they are loyal to their commander-in-chief, not quite like Bo Bergdahl. Let's take David for an example. When he had King Saul come to him while he and his men hid in a cave, he was faithful. He was loyal. 1 Samuel 24:10 says, "Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Our veterans were not hesitant, even though there may have been times when they were fearful. But they answered the call of our nation when the nation needed men. Today, there's another call, and it's a higher call than just to serve their country. We have a new commander-in-chief, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And the army would comprise all of those who name the name of Jesus. This is men and women of faith who take their orders from the supreme commander. The uniforms may be different. They may be overalls. They may be a suit. They may be coveralls. They could be any number of uniforms, but they are all serving in the Lord's army. A few minutes ago, I was opening this message. I read some verses out of 2 Timothy, and I would like to read a couple of those verses again. If you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. That is in the New Testament. In 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, Paul is addressing Timothy. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Yesterday we honored those who served in this country, various military branches, and those wives who support them at home. But there is a greater need, and today I would have us consider those who serve in the Lord's army in this day and place. The requirements are very similar. Service in the Lord's army must be disciplined, as it used to be in the military. I do qualify that. There must be an oath of allegiance and a pledge to follow our commander-in-chief with faithfulness and instant obedience. Will lives be lost in the battle? Yes, they're being lost every day. All of our lives need to be lost to self and given to the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no ribbons to be won or awards made in this life, but there will be rewards for those who are faithful. The final battle will take place at a place called Armageddon. We will all be riding white horses. We will have no weapons, as Gideon had none, but we will be following our commander-in-chief, who will destroy the enemy with the two-edged sword out of his mouth, the word of God. Our commander for now is the Holy Spirit. And the enemy is the world around us. We will not be fighting to gain geographic territory. We will be fighting to win men's souls. Souls that are lost in sin. Men, women, children, all who need the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be fighting the power of the devil. Everyone who names the name of Jesus is enrolled in this army. We are the Lord's army. I believe that we are quickly nearing the end of the battle. This is not the time to give up. Soon the war will be over and the good soldiers will be able to find rest from the noise of battle. We must be particularly careful not to get sidetracked with the affairs of this world. As the Apostle Paul said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. May we truly find a place of service in the service of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think of our veterans today, they have served faithfully. And we ask that we be as faithful as they have been. I don't know what battles lie ahead, but each one of us have a part to play. And unless each one of us play the part that the Lord has called us to, because he has called each one of us, whether we have responded affirmatively and accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior by believing that his shed blood covers our sin, that his resurrection is our promise of eternal life, that we might be born again. If there is someone here this morning who has never done that, God is calling you to take that opportunity to trust him as personal Savior. I heard Brother Felber this morning mentioned November 5th, 1971. Is that correct? September 5th, oh, okay. Because on November 5th, 1961, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in a little church in Romeo, Michigan. And if you're sitting here this morning and you do not know him, most of the folks here this morning do. And they would not look down on anyone who chose to use this day to be born again. Because most of us have experienced that. I don't know where my life would have taken me had not the Lord intervened. So each one here this morning is called. Called by a Heavenly Father. He has sent a Holy Spirit to touch our hearts, to bring conviction where it's needed. To ask us to receive Him as Savior. You don't have to respond. You can remain lost on your way to hell. And yet, God loves you. And it is His desire, as we are told in 2 Peter, that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. So as we come to the closing of this service, and as we sing a hymn, Victory in Jesus, I would ask you this morning, do you need to experience victory in Jesus? Because He wants you to. He does love you. He died for you. And He would like for you to be born again and become part of His army to spend the rest of your life serving Him. Tim, if you will come, we'll go ahead and come to our closing hymn. I would like to ask, I'm going to be here at the front, if there is someone here this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would like to use this morning as a time to receive Him, I will have someone go aside with you and show you in the Bible, in His Word, how you can be saved, how you can be born again. And this would be a wonderful day to start out a new life in Jesus Christ. So let's close in prayer, and then Tim, I'm going to have you lead us in our hymn, Victory in Jesus. Father, You see all of our hearts because You know everything and You see everything. And Father, if there are those here this morning who do not know Jesus, I would ask that Your Holy Spirit might right now touch their hearts, bring conviction. And Father, that You would give courage to do what You want done. And that if there is anyone here this morning who does not know Jesus, that they will come to know Him, that they will come forward here, and that we may deal with them and show them in Your Word what they must do. Thank You, Father, for this opportunity. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. May Your will be done in these next few moments, and we will praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen.